The Good News of the Judgment, Commentary for the April 29th, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1a. Several times over the course of my life, I have had the opportunity to spend time in court and learn lessons from the legal system in my community. As a young man without a lot of driving experience, I was ticketed for failure to stop at a railroad crossing in Oregon. There was no train and only a sign that said railroad crossing. But the law in that county required that a person stop before proceeding. While there was not a train, a town, or any other traffic in sight, there was a police car hiding in the trees, and I was ticketed. However, when I showed up in court, the officer did not. And the law at that time prohibited conviction based on hearsay evidence. The officer had to be present in court to be available for cross-examination. Since he did not show, the judge dismissed the case based on a presumption of innocence. I was relieved, but later in life I discovered that loophole was plugged, and now the presumption in such misdemeanor traffic cases is guilty, as is codified in the law regarding photographic enforcement of speeding in school zones. Consequently, there is no longer a requirement for the officer to be present, since he can only verify what is already presumed, and is hardly likely to say he should not have cited the driver. The municipal traffic court is an open court, so it is possible for those without business before the court to go and observe. The judge is usually lenient on those who are willing to admit their offense and throw themselves on the mercy of the court. Mitigation is typically offered, where the fine is reduced. For those who protest their innocence, the judge is far less lenient, since they are already presumed guilty and have an uphill battle to prove otherwise. Once I came before the court with measurements I had done at the scene of the infraction and cited how the traffic cameras had not been set up in accordance with statute, the judge refused to consider the evidence I presented, and he was right to do so. I was not an impartial authority, and he had no way to question my data. At that point, I realized the cost of a professional certification of the measurements would far exceed the amount of the fine, and accepted the judge's verdict as a better route. This is why the saying in the United States is that justice is for the wealthy. A wealthy person would have no problem absorbing such costs to prove a point. I was not that person. I learned from that experience to accept the mercy of the court for a lesser fine, especially since my guilt had been predetermined. Courts presume a system of laws that need adjudicating, whether misdemeanor traffic laws or laws dealing with felonies like murder, extortion, and kidnapping. Those laws are like a treatise on what nefarious activities people are willing to pursue to advance their own interests above that of their fellow human beings. But if courts presume laws, the opposite is also true. Laws presume a need for adjudication. The laws precede the courts, for without the laws, the court has no basis to render judgment. We see this biblically from the very beginning. There was only one law then: do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was the simple and direct yet powerful foundation of every legal system we have today. Its establishment came from the mind of God, who already knew the outcome of the law's existence. As the law foreshadowed, it was violated. We're not told how much time passed before it happened, but that is irrelevant, for the law assured by its existence that it would eventually happen. Else there would be no need for such a law. Once the transgression occurred, the foundation of the other part of the system, the courts, was established as well. For God passed judgment on the first pair in Genesis. Who else could judge? Adam and Eve could not, because they were the ones charged as transgressors. The serpent could not, for it was a co-conspirator. After God's examination of the guilty and their admission of their failure, sentence was passed on all three. The evolution of the legal system had begun, and murder was soon an early addition to the statutes when Cain killed his brother Abel. The weakness in the system was a failure to establish an enforcement arm that would bring the people before the judge for their transgressions. The Bible does not say how evil became so widespread as humanity multiplied on the earth. When some became strong enough to resist enforcement, that may be when the system broke. Much like organized crime gangs today corrupt law enforcement through bribery and intimidation. In any event, once the system broke, the only way to reestablish it was to start anew. For humanity, when things get so bad, the only recourse is usually revolution, with the idea of wiping the slate clean. In effect, this cleansing is what God did with the flood. There were not enough caring people left to foment a successful revolution to reestablish order. God offered the only hope of a fresh start. People were no longer willing to submit to him for judgment of their lawbreaking. As a result, they were convicted in absentia. Sentence was passed. Too late, they realized the costliness of their disdain for the court. This story, whether one believes it is literal or metaphorical, is for admonition. Our entire court system, derived from that early example in Eden, is a prophetic device that reminds us of two facts. If there is a judgment, there must be laws that preceded it. And if there are laws, there must eventually be judgment. We do not like to admit that reality, because we all on some level are scofflaws. We exceed the speed limit because we've calculated the odds are in our favor against getting caught. We may feel like antelope crossing a crocodile-infested river, that there are not enough police to catch all of us, so we tempt fate and ignore the law. We think we are only playing around with misdemeanors anyway. But the felon makes the same calculations and weighs their chance of being caught before proceeding with their crime. That we all make those same calculations reveals why the Bible says we are all sinners, transgressors of the law. The traffic lawbreaker shares the spirit of the murderer, and vice versa. Despite a functioning court system and the ability of law enforcement to bring transgressors before the court, despite having a higher percentage of our citizens incarcerated than any other major country, we still have plenty who make the same calculations, decide they can break the law without penalty, and proceed to do so. The laws do not exist independent of our behavior. For that very reason, the idea that they are done away with in any real sense is ludicrous. One would have to terminate humanity to end the law. Therefore, the law's existence, as always, proceeds to judgment. While Paul is correct in stating there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ, the law still exists for them as well, else no one could fall from grace. We may drive the speed limit for years, but the speeding law does not relent nor change in its pursuit of all, knowing that either intentionally or mistakenly, transgression is foretold. Those who say the law is no longer needed do not understand its purpose. Their transgressions will go before them to the foretold judgment. But those who see themselves as perfectly abiding by that law also do not understand its purpose. Like I learned in traffic court, they will one day come to understand that the only logical relationship to the law and the judge is to admit guilt and rely on any mitigation the court may offer. In our case, the judgment is convened at the end of the road for our planet, just as it was for the people of Noah's day. We are forewarned that horrible things will precede that day, when we see the earth going through the labor pains of trying to give birth to that day with natural disasters, widespread plagues, and extreme weather events. We can, like people did in Noah's day, go on as though everything is normal, ignoring an impending judgment that our very legal code foreshadows, and come crashing headfirst into the law that never really went away, despite our scoffing. Or we can admit our condition and what is coming, and allow Christ to set us free from the shackles of condemnation that the law places on us to carry us to judgment. The good news is, the choice is ours. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with scripture footnotes supporting some of the thoughts in the podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find hundreds of podcasts and commentaries at that site as well. May God richly bless you and your family.